Facebook. Of His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami. His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami passed away from this world and into the loving embrace of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Dada Shamsunda at 3:35 p.m. this afternoon. Gurudev's passing was so graceful and peaceful as if he slipped out by the gentle hands his helpers to board his chariot. Sangeeta Prabhu noticed a change in Gurudev's breathing pattern and alerted Brahma Muhurta Prabhu, who immediately came and sprayed Radha Kund water around Gurudev and applied Tulsi from Krishna Balaram, Radhisham and Gaurinitai to his tongue. Srila Radhanath Swami had left the room briefly. He was altered and sat down next to Gurudev. Shortly after that, Gurudev gave a very gentle breath, a kind of release. It was so slight and grateful, so much so that half the people in the room didn't notice it was his last breath. After this, Sangeeta and Madhavacharya checked his vital signs and minutes later confirmed that Gurudev had indeed made the perfect escape. As the final check of Gurudev's vital signs was happening, the kirtan intensified and grew in the minutes it took. When the confirmation finally was expressed, the kirtan roared, rising up with emotion. So many of the devotees started to clap with the kirtan with their hands over their heads. The devotees were crying, embracing one another, expressing their feelings of celebration and sadness. Then Kalpa Vriksha Prabhu loudly chanted the Premadvani Pranam for Gurudev and for Srila Prabhupada. The kirtan continued in Gurudev's room for some time. Initially, devotees in the living room stayed there, but then after 5 minutes they started filing into the room and naturally a queue formed, allowing everyone to have a final darshan of Gurudev in his bed. Gurudev's expression was so sublime, like he was in divine rapture, in awe, in gratitude, in love. The processional through Gurudev's room continued for 10 minutes and then concluded, leading out into the living room. From there, the departure ceremony continued with Rakeshwara Pandit leading the devotees in Sankirtan, circumambulating around Gurudev's room and the institute house. Inside Gurudev's room, everyone except a small group assembled to assist Brahma Muhurta and Radhanath Swami in the Samadhi Samskara process, which is currently going on. We will continue to send updates and pictures throughout the full duration of the departure ceremony. The procession bringing Gurudev from the institute house to the temple will begin at 8 p.m. All glories to the most sublime departure of that great general of Srila Prabhupada, who deeply touched the lives of so many thousands and brought Srila Prabhupada's transformation throughout the world. May his legacy be carried by us, leading us to meet with him again in kind. His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. So last night at 8, at 3:35. I just got that I wasn't prepared to speak on this, but maybe there can be a major program later. Keep reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, text number 41, the Pandavas retired time limit. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All the sense organs into the mind, then the mind into life, life into breathing, his total existence into the embodiment of the five elements, and his body into death. Then, as pure self, he became free from the material conception of life. Purport by Swami Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srupada Ki Jaya. Mana Yudhisthira, like his brother Arjuna, began to concentrate and gradually became freed from all material bondage. First he concentrated all the actions of the senses and amalgamated them into the mind. Or in other words, he turned his mind towards the transcendental service of the Lord. He prayed that since all material activities are performed by the mind in terms of actions and reactions of the material senses, and since he was going back to Godhead, the mind would wind up its material activities and would be turned towards the transcendental service of the Lord. There was no longer a need for material activities. Actually, the activities of the mind cannot be stopped, for they are the reflection of the eternal soul. But the quality of the activities can be changed from matter to the transcendental service of the Lord. The material color of the mind is changed when one washes it from contaminations of life breathing and thereby frees it from the contamination of repeated births and deaths and situates it in pure spiritual life. All is manifested by the temporary embodiment of the material body, which is a production of the mind at the time of death. And if the mind is purified by practice of transcendental loving service to the Lord and is constantly engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is no more chance of the mind's producing another material body after death. It will be freed from absorption in material contamination. The pure soul will be able to return home back to Godhead. Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Om Shri Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vantare Smriti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nati Namaha Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vachayani Sikshi Shandavari Vastasthani Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama. Translation. Then he amalgamated all the sense organs into the mind, then the mind into life, life into breathing, his total existence into the embodiment of the five elements, and his body into death. Then as pure self, he became free from the material conception of life. So, Prabhupada mentions that Maharaj Yudhisthira, like his brother Arjuna, began to concentrate. Arjuna's concentration was remembering Krishna. Remembering how all the different qualities of Krishna, how he was such a good friend to them, a protector, a well-wisher, advisor, and also sometimes he would serve them. And he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How fortunate they were to have his association. So these are the descriptions of the pure devotees. And Siddhas, who appear with the Lord when the Lord appears to perform his pastimes to establish Dharma set things right on the proper path. So the Nityasiddhas, they also accompany the Lord. And their pastimes, or their dealings with each other, more or less carry on as normal. It's just the background changes from the spiritual world to the material world, if they come from the spiritual world. But their relationship goes on more or less unhindered. And sometimes it's more enhanced in the material world, because there's different circumstances that happen in the material world which don't go on in the spiritual world. So their affection for Krishna is their main asset, and it's their life and soul. That is their relationship with Krishna is in great affection, although they have slightly different relationships according to their age and position with Krishna. Arjuna was like a best friend, always with Krishna. Together, they would hunt together, they would play together, they would eat together. All those converse together like that. But with great affection, that was all done in great affection. Similarly, Yudhisthira, Krishna would offer him respects because he was the monarch, was supposed to be the monarch, and he was elder. So he would deal with him accordingly, and the younger brothers accordingly. So that goes on. The dealings between the Lord and his devotees just goes on as normal. It's just circumstantial what else goes on in the material world around that. Because their affection, their union and separation, their dealings, that just goes on as normal. That is their mainstay. That is their whole life as Yudhisthira. His whole existence was just for the pleasure of Krishna. These are the symptoms of the pure devotees. Whatever he did was, he always took advice from Krishna, and they simply acted according to his desires. He performed the Rajasuya sacrifice, which is not a small thing. That means you have to conquer all of your position has to be unchallenged. I remember that hundreds and hundreds of kings at that time. So everyone had to recognize your position. So it's not a small thing to perform this Rajasuya sacrifice. But he performed it. I'm simply doing this to show the whole world that actually you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That they're all coming before me, they're all bowing before me. I'm the emperor, but I'm bowing before you. I'm glorifying Krishna by your grace. And it's you who should be the center of worship. It's you who should be the center of adoration. That was his reason for doing it. Otherwise, personally, he had no interest. So you see how Krishna uses his devotees to establish these truths. And he brings his devotees because only they will be able to act perfectly in that situation. Anyone else took that position, they wouldn't be able to. They may forget if you became the emperor, then you could easily become overwhelmed by the opulence and the worship and forget Krishna. It could become secondary. And so it has to be the pure devotee, has to be the pure unalloyed devotees where we get this. So we get these nice examples from. So he would, although he had everything, although he was the emperor, still he was paying tribute to the Lord. And as soon as the Lord left, then he had no more interest in anything else. So he's just winding up. Krishna is his actual life force, is Krishna. So it's just like the life force has been taken away, the reason for living has been taken away. Like probably many of Bhaktivedanta Swami's disciples are feeling like that right now, that that life is empty, it's become empty. This you can actually realize the temporary futility of nature of the conditioned soul, running around trying to enjoy this life. Because that's all the material world is just give one a chance to exhibit that controlling spirit and enjoying spirit, to try to play at being the Lord. And so you get perfect opportunity. So you get this body, which is the optimum opportunity for enjoying with the 10 senses, especially the human form, because it has developed intelligence. So you got these 10 senses in which to experience all you want to do. Then all different kinds of goals in life. When it's analyzed, we see the world is what, 24 elements, different combinations of the material. These 24 elements, specifically the five: earth, water, fire, and air. And then within that, there's all kinds of perfections, the four perfections of life: dharma, anatta, karma, moksha. These are goals, and there's the other attractive features, the six attractive features, six attractive treasures that we go for: or beauty, strength, wealth, knowledge, renunciation. These are all the attractive opulences. Then for those who are spiritually or religiously inclined or more higher inclined, there's these different mukti, siddhi, kami. So they're all after different things, even from the lowest person to the highest person. They're all looking in this, but that's practically all there is, all that's going on. They're just searching for these different opulences, the six opulences, and these other siddhi, bhukti for enjoyment, and siddhi, which is just that's more or less bhukti is just an enjoyer, and the siddhi is a controller. He wants the siddhis so he can control anima, lagima, etc. These becoming heavier, lighter, reaching out, taking something from anywhere, different magic abilities that you can actually control. And they like to play with this, they get great pleasure with this. And the ones that are seeking mukti, they're ones that are actually frustrated. Because that means they've practically tried everything else. They're trying to be the controller, the enjoyer, they try to be the controller. And they're kind of frustrated. So then the mukti is for them. So apart from these basic things, there's nothing else, there's nothing else going on in the material world. That's all it is. It's just chasing after these particular things that we value. been taught about the book. And they have meaning as long as one doesn't have Krishna or something better. But when one actually establishes one's relationship with Krishna, then all these, they lose their meaning. Because the motivation is a better sense of happiness, better standard of living, and more happiness. That's what all these things are for. to become the center, the object of everyone's attention. These are the things that are motivating us once we've passed the basic stage of life, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Once that's taken care of, then all these are the things that are moving everyone, and these are the desires. And because of those desires can never be fulfilled, the soul satisfied. Therefore, there's another body at the time of death, because the mind will be thinking of something else, what it wanted, because it's not, you can't be satisfied, you see. So then, at the time of death, the mind will still be feeling that lacking and thinking of how to overcome that lack. That will shape the kind of next body according to your karma. And then you start another cycle. So here, these descriptions of the pure devotees, they're not interested in these things for themselves, although they may be in a royal position. They may be the emperor of the whole planet, but they're not interested in for themselves. They're only doing it for Krishna's sake, because Yudhisthira was Dharma, he is a very pious person. Krishna wanted the kingdom to be led in a religious way, that the citizens could evolve towards the true path, true goal of life. And so for that reason, then Yudhisthira was acting in that position. But as soon as Krishna left, he had no interest anymore. Here, and then he just wound everything up. Not that he sat down and performed his yoga thing. That wasn't necessary. But he did the same thing. This is a yoga, the Ashtanga yoga system. You'll amalgamate the sense organs into the mind, because that's where the mind functions through those things, experiences through those things. So then you withdraw the senses back into the mind, then the mind into the life into the breathing, and total existence into the embodiment of five elements, because that's all it is. Five elements, the body's just five elements. And then you understand the body's, just dead matter. And this way then the yogis, they become free from the material conception of life. So that's how that's the yoga. But he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to, because he was already a perfect person. But this set example, he was saying, this is how he did it. This is what actually happened. But it happened immediately. He had no interest in going out, exploring through the senses. So Krishna was gone, then there was no meaning. Then everything just withdrew. There was no meaning to life anymore. Krishna was the meaning to life. Krishna was his source of inspiration, his source of having his rasa. So then what is the point in living anymore if Krishna's not here? Actually speaking. Of course the Yuga Dharma has to go on, but then so quickly they installed the sun. But they made Pritchett the king. He was capable by that time. Then he's done it, he's finished his business. And then they just start, then he'll just take off. Just walk till they drop. Nothing to live for. So this realization, it comes about the temporary nature of the material world, it comes very close at the time of death or death of a beloved person. Near death experience, that will sometimes wakes people up until they actually see, they actually think they're going to die, or they actually do die. Or the one devotee was driving his motorbike and it came off, and he was flying over the wall. At that time, he was understanding that it can be over, just 1 minute, it's all over, it's all finished. And he thought, he had a realization while he was flying through the air. He had these realizations about the temporary nature of life. And fortunately, it was unharmed, but immediately after that, he just began his search for life and quickly became a devotee and started the process of devotional service. Because he had practical realization of the temporary nature of this material world. So like that, in days like this, especially for the disciples of Bhakti Tirtha Swami, then they're also feeling very, the enjoying spirit is zero at this particular time. You don't think about enjoying your senses anymore at this particular time. It's only after a period of time then it changes again. But whether you come very close to death or somebody very close to you comes to death, it's a very sobering experience and makes you realize what a temporary situation is, what a temporary situation we're in. So this is, Yudhisthira has given these examples. And the pure devotees give these examples, whether they're like Yudhisthira, who was had all the opulence at his control. He was not interested. We would like Yudhisthira's position. Everyone would like to be the emperor, the actual controller of the whole planet. Everyone would like that. It's a desirable position. It's a great opulence. But he gave it up. He just turned his back. Just turned his back, gave it all up, put on bark. Didn't comb his hair. No more scented oil, baths. He just turned his back. He didn't even say goodbye to his brothers and his wife. and they was in the same state. So they didn't say, oh, look at Yudhisthira, he's Dhammaraj, he's leaving us alone. No, they all loved Krishna equally. So they all felt the same way. What's the use? Our program is over. Let's go. They said, they just followed him. They just walked out behind, followed him. So the examples are there that what we're hankering for, what we're struggling for so much in the material world, much more than we could ever achieve. Why are they just turning their back on it? Just rejecting, just turning, walking away from it. They just think what treasure they must have, something wonderful they must have. Let them know those things. That example was given by Kalabhita Sridhar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used him as an example. He lived up here near the Jagannath temple. He was a very poor man. But he had great love of Krishna and Ganga. And Mahaprabhu offered him one day all these different benedictions. Because you're a very poor man, I'm giving you you take some benediction from me. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed this book. His form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Vishnu. Fulgent, bright like the thousands of suns, dazzling ornaments, he's there, and followed by the Sridhar, what's going on? And so then he's asking, take a benediction. But Kalabhata wasn't asking for any benediction. So that's the difference. Mukti, Gupti, Siddhi, Karmi, they're all dissatisfied. They'll want something. But you see, the pure devotee doesn't want anything. He's got it. He's already got his relationship with Krishna is established. That's all you need. That is real life. There's nothing beyond that except Maya. Maya means forgetfulness of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, look, you're a very poor man, I'll give you the opulences of Indra. And he refused. And I'll give you the Ashta city, all the cities. He wasn't interested. So I'll give you Mukti. Man, he was, closed his ears, Mukti, don't say Mukti. Like the witch, but you know, when a devotee hears Mukti, they close their ears. Mukti means no relationship. I hate that. So he said, I'll take you to Vaikuntha. He wasn't even interested in that. So then his desire was, because the Lord was insisting that, you know, that he continued to tease him in the marketplace, if that's what brought him pleasure, and let him be born birth after birth, as he is. And then the Lord can come and poke fun with him and joke with him and tease him, make him cry, make him angry, like that, that's what he wants. So Mahaprabhu said, this is the treasure of the devotee. Because he's offering all these things. He's offering bhakti, mukti, siddhi, karmi. He's offering all of these things to the devotee. And he's saying, no, 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 no. Even though he has nothing, he's penniless beggar, practically speaking. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord puts his devotees in these different circumstances just for our benefit. So we can see. If you, a beggar generally can't say no to anything. Generally a beggar can't refuse, can't say no. because it's tough being a beggar. But here you say he didn't want any of these things. He thought they were an hindrance to his service. So that is to glorify the exceptional position of pure devotional service. So here, but it's written here, it's given in so many ways. Here it's given in, you know, an analytical way. It's just, you know, describing the, you know, in a different way, how the, you know, how life from the life, the, you know, then the elements, then the bodies are produced of the elements, then life forces, the life force appears around the life force. And centered around the mind, you get those different senses, and they gradually manifest like that. So this is what's going on in the material world. So it's just a description of, this is what it is. There's nothing else. Whatever particular body you got, whatever mind you got, and those senses, you're acting like that, and you think this is the best. And you're everyone is trying to improve, because actually the living entity is suffering here. So everyone is trying to improve their situation in the material world. Human being has a lot of facility for this. But what is it? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to squeeze some pleasure out of earth, water, fire, and air? It's different elements. That's all it is. There's no actual rasa there. So that is, I don't know if it can be explained later. But explained later in the Bhagavatam, this is called Maya. This is illusion. We're identifying something that we're not. That which is not. So we're identifying with this body, which the soul actually has nothing to do with, although the body is caused by the soul, caused by the soul's desires. But actually, the soul is always different from the body. It's actually always aloof from the body. But it's only by illusion that we think, you know, we become attached to the body. We think we're part of the body, or the body, or the connection with the body. The actual connection is illusion. It's actually an illusion. The illusion is that we think we are the body, and we think we can control and enjoy this body with the experience of it, but actually it's not. So that's what's going on. It's just a, you know, just like a, it's like a movie, you know? Just colors and sound and some plastic. That's all it is. That's all that's going on in the material world. So that you're not going to have a relationship. As soon as the reel stops, all the enjoyment of the movie is over, all the emotions have gone again. It's just a, put it in the box. It's just a bunch of plastic and that's it. There's no relationship with that anymore. So that's what happens. All these attachments and emotions that we experience and desires, when the body's finished, it's all gone. It's all gone. Till you put it again and play it again, and it comes out, it goes back into seed form, the mind. Then it comes out again, and then you have another spin, and do it again. So that's all that's the material world. So we should be, here is explaining in different ways, just what's going on. So from that point of view, then, this is a negative side, that why you want to continue to have a relationship for pleasure in this material world, even if you get it, it's temporary. And it's a very risky business. So, but the devotees, how can they stop all this? What everyone is mad for, how can they stop all this? How can they just give it up? How can they turn their back on it? Everything, they can just turn their back on the whole thing. Because they must have something better. This is the evidence. They must have something better, otherwise how could you do it? So that's why time and time again these stories are there of the Lord's dealings with his devotees. They actually did something better. They've established their relationship with Krishna. They've established the relationship with reality, eternality. And that's what we actually want. But now we're looking in there, because of illusion, we're looking in there. Temporary place for an eternal relationship. So then so now with these sobering times, we can also meditate on the beloved God brother and uncle, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, all the wonderful qualities. So he must have been very dear to Prabhupada. So much preaching, intellectuals, libraries, the communist parts of the world. Very loving person, very concerned for all the devotees. It's actually a great loss to our movement. Even though his departure appears glorious, this surrounded by devotees, perform kirtan, they can charamita, etc. Perfection. But it's a great loss for our society. Great loss for us also, won't have his best association anymore. So these are sent to remind us of the temporary nature. Nothing is permanent here. So we should establish a relationship with something that is permanent. And then, of course, the devotees. Devotees also, nobody's permanent here. But that's the relationship that we establish with the devotees. That's different. If it's actually a spiritual relationship, then that's different than that feeling of separation, that suffering that you feel, and pain. That's actually real. There's real suffering. There is real pain in the spiritual world. It's also there. It's not. It's inexplicable that the pain is also. It's also ecstasy, but it's a different kind of ecstasy. And so we can also, according to our relationship with somebody who's just left, according to the closeness of our relationships, the depth of our relationship, we can also feel that separation, which is very purifying. Because like I say, at that time you're not thinking about enjoying, going out and having a good time or enjoying your senses. You're not interested in life. You're not interested in eating, right? Eating, sleeping, the basic necessities of life, you're not interested in. Right? But if someone's very close to you, so it's explained, it's not wrong, like you just said, not wrong. they lament, they cry, and they just not interested in anything else. Of course, the pure devotees are never interested in themselves. But during these times, and we should, these times that when your eyes are open a little bit, you have some realization, because it doesn't last. The feeling won't last. It's like it is, on the same day. And, time takes it away again, and you can get back into the modes and way of life. Time brings, time takes it away. But at this particular time, at least, we should have some contemplation and some trying to be fixed in that realization of the. The temporariness of the material world and the value of the association of devotees. When they're gone, they may realize how important they were. Jai Srimad Bhagavatama ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaja ki jai, Thai Gopinathji. Anyone like to say something regarding Bhakti Tirtha Swami? Any disciples here? Or someone who went to America? Then maybe they'll arrange a program. Thank you.